Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. Well, we had a lot of racing action this weekend. We had all three NASCAR series at the Tricky Triangle. ARCA was there as well. IndyCar was out in Iowa Speedway for a doubleheader. And the only one had off this week was NHRA. But anyway, let's check out the IndyCar on the first race of the weekend up there for the results. Let's see who took home that checkered flag. For the HyVDeals.com 250, 250 laps. So, I think that's a one-mile track. Anyway, Joseph Newgarden took the checkered flag for race one. Pato O'Ward took second. Will Power third. Brynus VK was fourth. Scotty Dixon fifth. Alex Palou sixth. Romain Grosjean seventh. Eighth was Marcus Ericsson. Graham Rahal was ninth. And rounding out your top ten was Christian Lundgaard. Jimmy Johnson, keep an eye on Jimmy, actually finished 11th, so that's a good finish for Johnson, figuring he's a rookie. Now, technically, he's not a rookie, but this is his first full season. But I don't think he ran for Rookie of the Year. I think he only ran a couple races, but anyway, good to see Jimmy up there. I'm sure he's looking for his first IndyCar win. Kind of how it goes. Average speed was 134. The race took 1 hour, 39 minutes, and 34 seconds. And there were four lead changes amongst five drivers. And four cautions for 33 laps. Do we have a points chart on that? No, we don't. So we're going to have to wait till rather than me go chase it down. I know. They ran the next day. So here is the results for the IV Salute to Farmers 300. So this is a 300 lapper. So that 250 on Saturday to 300 on Sunday. And Joseph Newgarden did not win both of them. He had a wreck late. Pato O'Ward took the checkered flag. Will Power was second. Scott McLaughlin third. Scotty Dixon fourth. Jimmy Johnson, top five. Way to go, Jimmy. I guess once you figured it out on the first day, you had everything set to go on the second. Marcus Ericsson is sixth. Felix Rosenquist is seventh. David Malukas, eighth. Romain Grosjean, ninth. And Takuma Sato rounds out the top ten. I didn't see no ladies on it this weekend. Average speed was 140.68. Time of race, 1 hour and 54 minutes, 23 seconds. Margin of victory, 4.247, let's say 4.25 seconds. That's not a close one, folks. It's IndyCar, though, so don't expect too many close ones. Two cautions for 26 laps, seven lead changes amongst five drivers. And here are your top 10 in points. It's Marcus Ericsson in first. He has an 8-point lead over Will Power. Joseph Newgarden is third. Scotty Dixon fourth. Pato O'Ward is fifth. Alex Palou sixth. Scott McLaughlin, 7th. Colton Herta, 8th. Felix Rosenquist, 9th. Alexander Rossi, 10th. Where's Jimmy Johnson? Let's see. A little further down. I need to count. If they were in order, if they were numbered in order, I could have given that to you. But that's how it goes. On the other motorsports, the SRX series, founded by Tony Stewart, It was. Marco Andretti. So the Michael's son, grandson of Mario Andretti, running in a stock car, takes the championship at the Camping World SRX Series. The only other Andretti to drive a stock car was cousin John Andretti. He was the first one actually to do the Memorial Day double feature, the Memorial Day 1100. And Mario did win the Daytona 500. So, but Mario didn't run too many stock car races. So it just goes to show you they were entrusted in IndyCar out of Nazareth, Pennsylvania. There used to be a nice little track up there. It was it was owned by Roger Penske. And he wound up selling that out to the France family. When he sold all of his tracks. He had Michigan, California, Fontana, Nazareth. So he unloaded all of them. Just kept his Cup and Indy teams. I think between Penske and Ganassi, I think they have more wins and championships in the IndyCar series than anybody else combined. Of course, the SRX series is only 6 races long. But, you know, you got Paul Tracy in there. You got a lot of IndyCar guys and NASCAR drivers. I think Haley Deegan, who's an up-and-coming young lady, and I think she's running the truck series, has run a couple. So it's not like, it's all retired old people. They got a few youngsters. So, and, you know, it's a new series. I think Tony might be doing it right, doing a couple, 6 races this year, maybe upping it as the series grows. It could, who knows, man, if it's better racing than what you're seeing on Indy or NASCAR, you might have a few other drivers. It might be a competitive series, and somebody will have to fight for fans, because that's what it's all about. You don't they tried to split the IndyCar series, which was at one time CART, Championship Auto Racing Teams. Well, CART kind of stayed, and then Tony George, whose family owned the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, decided to start his own IndyCar series called the Indy Racing League, which, believe it or not, was all ovals, and he didn't have this influx of road courses that CART was going to. CART was leaning more Formula One with different cars. And CART split from, was formed, if you really want to go back to it, the United States Auto Club, USAC. The Indy 500 was a USAC-sanctioned event. They split from that. I think USAC still might run dirt, but as far as how it goes that way, I haven't seen too much for them. A lot of, midget cars and sprint cars and things like that. So we'll just have to see where the SRX goes as far as growth goes. I mean, Tony Stewart is pretty diverse in his racing business. So you can't rule out him knowing what he wants and how he needs to get it done. Just imagine the financing involved in that. I mean, he got Camping World to sponsor the series, so that's a good start. I wonder how that's going to stay in today's economy. Because you have the Camping World Truck Series, which took over for the Craftsman Truck Series when Sears Roebuck decided to merge with Kmart, and then they dissolved the Sears. They pretty much run out of Kmarts, too. They shut them down. They sold the Craftsman line off to, I think, DeWalt. I think DeWalt now owns all the Craftsman brand, and now you can buy them pretty much anywhere. The big thing about that was everybody bought Craftsman tools because lifetime guarantee. You broke it, you took them back to the store, they gave you a new one. But so you have Camping World Trucks, Camping World, NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series that took over for Mellow Yellow after, I guess, the pandemic. They pulled out. Camping World jumped in, and now you have Camping World SRX series. So now, that being said, there we have the Indy wrap-up, and let's head on to ARCA Menards, which is, again, owned by NASCAR now. Used to be a warm-up series. Now NASCAR owns them out. Used to be the K&N East and K&N West, which was NASCAR Minor Leagues. Well, and then they made that an ARCA-branded series. But let's check out the race results for the General Tire Delivers 200 at Pocono. The rain was shortened. The race was shortened to 64 laps due to rain. So the man out front, when all was said and done, I said man because it was a dude, Taylor Gray, rookie, takes the checkered flag. Nick Sanchez, second. Brandon Jones. You remember Brandon. Takes third. Rajah Caruth is fourth. Daniel Dye. These are rookies now. Caruth and Dye. And Taylor Gray was fifth. Connor Mosack, another rookie, sixth. Jake Finch, seventh. Eighth, Chris Wright. Jason Kitzmiller, ninth. And Tony Breidinger, a rookie lady, rounds out the top 10. A few ladies this year. You have Tony. You have Stephanie Moyer, Amber Balsing. They're making their entry into stock car racing. Let's check the points. Rajah Caruth is first. Nick Sanchez, second. Daniel Dye, third. Tony Breidinger, fourth. Do we have someone who could beat Sarah Cornett-Ching, who was the highest finishing female in the standings of ARCA? And who wound up beating, believe it or not, Shauna Robinson. I got to talk to Shauna. I haven't talked to her in a while. Greg Van Alstis fifth, Amber Bowsey and Balkane. I gotta find out how to pronounce that one. I keep mispronouncing people's names. The sixth, and she's technically, well, she's listed as Canadian. Who, believe it or not, so is Sarah Cornett-Ching, who's back racing in Canada. She had a wicked wreck in the ARCA series, and I guess got a nasty concussion. Took her a while to heal up. So, I guess finally getting back into the car. I have to, I guess, go back to starting back to lower levels, which kind of sucks because I thought she had a shot at it, and she was doing pretty good. Well, Amber 6th, 7th, Brad Smith. They're the only ones who, I guess, have run all 10 races. And then you have another batch that ran 6th. And then how do you wind up something? Zachary Tinkle in 12th. Supposedly entered 9 races. 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. 8th, 9th, and 10th only ran 6 races, and then you have 11th and 12th run 9. Okay, Sammy Smith in 8th, Taylor Gray, who won the race, is in 9th, and Jesse Love is in 10th. Corey Heim, Brandon Jones, I think they're running pretty much all NASCAR races this year. Rita Tomlinson, 37th place. There are a lot of ladies in the field, which is good. I mean, Tony drives the Kathy Venturini, one of the team Venturini. Which has been in ARCA series forever. Whereas Bill the father, Billy, and then there was Frank, I think he drove, and he worked crew chief Wendy, who's a broadcaster. So there are your ARCAs. All right, some big news from NASCAR. Let's go to audio for that instead of me telling you about it. Sure, you've all heard that Zoom press conference and then radio with Steve Phelps, Ben Kennedy, Bubba Wallace, Kara Backman, and Lori Lightfoot. Does that name sound familiar? Here's why.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Marty Snyder from NBC Sports. It's a pleasure to be here in Chicago for today's special event. I want to welcome the media, the many special guests in attendance as well, everyone listening and watching on NASCAR.com, as well as everyone on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I want to also welcome NASCAR CEO Jim France and NASCAR Executive Vice Chair Lisa Kennedy. They have both been so instrumental in making today's announcement a reality. I want to say a welcome and thank you to the many public officials from the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, who are here today. Please hold your applause to the end. Paul Goodrich, the COO, City of Chicago. Samir Mayakar, Deputy Mayor of Chicago. Michael Fasnacht, CEO, World Business Chicago. Superintendent David Brown, Chicago Police Department. Alderman Walter Burnett. Alderman Scott Wagasback, Glenn Eden, Choose Chicago Board Chair, Senator Don Harmon, President of the Illinois Senate, and Sylvia Garcia, Director of the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Thank you all for being here so much today. Also want to say a big thanks to all the folks who have walked by and stopped to see the cars and see this press conference. We're so glad you're here for today's big announcement. Thank you guys for stopping by as well. This promises to be one of the most exciting announcements in NASCAR history, especially as the sport celebrates its 75th anniversary in 2023. That's pretty cool, isn't it? To help make this announcement, please welcome up NASCAR Senior Vice President, Racing Development and Strategy, Ben Kennedy, everyone.
Great. Thank you, Marty. And as Marty mentioned, thank you all for being here today. This is a monumental day in the history of our sport, NASCAR. And as Marty mentioned, next year we'll be celebrating our 75th year anniversary. In 75 years, our sport has never had a street course. And I am excited and proud to announce to you today that on July 2nd, 2023, the NASCAR Cup Series will be coming to downtown Chicago and racing here. So really excited.
Against the sky-blue waters of Lake Michigan.
And there you have it, a street race in probably the most unsafest city in the country. I didn't stick around to listen for Mayor Lightfoot. But are they going to line the course with bulletproof glass, or that's something that they're going to have to drive through because it's Chicago. So, therefore, I don't know. Any city, I don't know if I would have picked any city to have a street course. Maybe Charlotte. Hey, it would have been nice running a street course in Charlotte. Chicago? Yeah, I don't think if you get anybody going to Chicago for a race, you'll be lucky. Probably mainly the residents, because really you can't sell too many seats on the street. But, you know, street to building distance is very, very, not very wide. I could just imagine where they're going to chart this out. I'm sure they're working on it. But that's not quite what I would have chosen for a venue for a street course. Anywhere but Chicago. Hell, it's like driving through Camden, only it's not only bigger. So, who's to say? I wish they'd put this audio with the ARCA stuff. Taylor Gray. Talking about his win.
We are now joined by Taylor Gray, driver of the number 17 Ford for David Gilliland Racing, winner of tonight's ARCA Menards Series race from Pocono Raceway. Taylor, why don't you start us off by taking us through your race here tonight?
Yeah, definitely a pretty eventful one. I wasn't in the main pack up front there for a little bit, so I don't know how racy it was up there, but I know I was trying like hell to get back up there, but I can't thank everybody enough. I mean, we went a lap down there at our pit stop or modified pit stop, and then Chad Johnson made a really good call by about after we went a lap down about coming back down pit road and making sure we were topped off to be able to finish the rest of the race out. Great call by him. And I can't thank all my guys enough at DGR for bringing me a really fast race car. I sit in the seat and work the steering wheel and pedals. They're the ones that do the hard work and bring me fast race cars. So all the glory or whatever you want to call it, all the props go out to them. They're the ones that bring me fast race cars every weekend, and I'm the one that that just works the pedals and the steering wheel. So I can't thank them enough, and I love being here in Victory Lane talking to you guys.
There you have Taylor Gray, our ARCA Series winner. All right, let's go to the Truck Series, see who we got there. Chandler Smith, driving the number 18 truck. Took the checkered flag. I wonder what the trophy, I can't forget what the trophy looks like at Pocono. But anyway, Ryan Preece was second, John Hunter Nemechek third, Corey Heim fourth, Carson Hosevar fifth, Austin Hill sixth, Ty Majeski seventh, Christian Eckes eighth, ninth is Derek Krause. Rounding out your top ten is Tanner Gray. See who else was in there. Haley Deegan didn't have a good run. She was started 19th, had brake issue and wound up 33rd. Josh Rayom, who I've had on the show, was 34th. Todd Bodine, I guess, hopping back in a truck. Finished dead last. Started 34th, finished dead last. You might think it was a start and park, but I don't think they allow that anymore. Chandler Smith did win stage one. He led three times for 49 laps. And Christian Eckes won stage two. Led once for five laps. So out of a total of 60, there you have it. Three leaders. Ryan Preece led once for six, so 6 and 5 is 11, plus 49 is 60. All righty, let's check the points. This is, there was 5 cautions for 20 laps, 5 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. The race did go the distance, and five cautions for 20 laps out of 60. It's a fair average. Reseeded driver's points, whatever that, here we go. I hate when you have to, they redid it, and you can't open it. Well, there goes the points. Let me see if I can get it from the main race stat pack. At least it'll be barely. Oh boy, I guess me interwebs went down because nothing's opening up. Try you again. Nope. We're having that issues. All right. I can't even open the... let me try... talking to Chandler Smith. And see what he had to say about his win.
Now we'll be joined by the winner of today's NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race here at Pocono Raceway, and that's Chandler Smith. If you have a question for Chandler, please raise your hand, and we'll get you a mic. We'll start up here to Kyle.
Kyle Magda, Rowdy Mag Light Race, immediately heightened times news. Can you talk about the battle there with Preece? I know he got on you on the outside there, and then you got back around him.
Yeah,
I was dominating the race all day. It was in clean air. Never really got in dirty air all day. So I didn't really know what our truck was going to do when I got in dirty air. So when he did get by me, we took a huge shift. Like, our truck was not that great. But luckily, a restart came. All three KBM trucks lined up. We were all in the inside lane. Corey gave me a really good push. The four gave him a really good push. And ultimately, that's what led to us getting the victory.
Any more questions for Chandler? Up here to Chris and then to Cole. I'm here.
Chris, 9catchfans.com. Watch Chandler. Your outlook on the playoffs, how do you feel? Is there a place that you're maybe potentially worried about going to? And how do you approach, you know, not having being able to be consistent as far as the schedule goes over the next couple months?
Yeah, no, I'm honestly really happy with how the playoff schedule is. There's a lot of short tracks, and then there's Homestead and Kansas. And Kansas, we were pretty solid at. Had some issues, drove from the back like twice or whatever there. But we had a really strong truck there. I've never been to Homestead, never seen the place. I'm also going to be racing the Xfinity car there as well, so that's going to be a long day for myself. It's going to be double duty. So with that being said, we're going into the playoffs with a lot of momentum, obviously, and I think that's on our side for sure.
There you have Chandler Smith, your race winner. Locked into the playoffs, obviously. Let's check out the Xfinity Series. It came down to a battle of two guys, and they were racing pretty hard toward the end of the race. But when all was said and done, there was one possible move for a pass. Either on the last lap or the lap before it, but it wound up being that Noah Gragson taking the checkered flag over Ty Gibbs. And Gragson did pretty much lead a good part of the race, led three times for 43 laps and won stage two. So he did have it together when it counted the most. I'm sure he would have liked to take stage one as well, but he wound up with six playoff points. Seven is what you can get, so... like I said, Ty Gibbs was second. Josh Berry was third. He was in the mix for a little while, but didn't happen that way. A.J. Allmendinger, fourth. Sheldon Creed, fifth. Sam Meyer, sixth. Justin Allgaier, seventh. Austin Hill, eighth. Allgaier did lead once for 22 laps. But there's 65 out of the 90. And then it was broke down to single digits amongst two, four, six other drivers. So Austin Hill, eighth. Daniel Hemric, ninth. And Cole Custer rounds out your top 10. Time of the race, 1 hour, 49 minutes. Average speed, 123.4. Margin of victory, like I said, it was close, 0.28 seconds. It's Gragson's eighth victory in Xfinity Series, and he has a good bit of them this year. Five cautions for 18 laps, and nine lead changes amongst eight drivers. Failed to qualify Brennan Poole. That's kind of odd. All right, let's see if we can bring up a championship that. On that, see who's running in the... Yes, we have points reports for Xfinity, not the reseeded Truck Series 1. A.J. Allmendinger leads the points with Justin Allgaier second. Ty Gibbs is third. Josh Berry, fourth. Noah Gragson, fifth. Austin Hill, sixth. Brandon Jones, seventh. And then those guys all have wins. The one who has the most wins is Ty Gibbs. Gragson behind him, picking up his third. And then you have Sam Mayer in eighth. Riley Herbst, ninth. Daniel Hemric 10th, Ryan Sieg 11th, and then on your playoff bubble in the Xfinity Series, and 12th, Landon Castle. Let's hear from Noah Gragson. Of course, he drives for Dale Earnhardt Jr., who actually works the booth during the NBC series. I don't control the volume on this. And there you have Noah Gragson. I hope you were able to hear it. I have all the levels turned up on my end, but apparently I forgot to boost the volume on the recording end of that press conference. I wonder if it was that quiet. In the press box. Press room, the media room, media center. I know at Dover, we have a room where everything feeds into a big, they have wireless mics and they tap into a mixer which taps into the amplifier going through the press room. So somebody didn't pod up the amplifier. All righty. Now, let's get to the Cup race. It was a weird one because it was originally when we documented, when I updated the Garage Talk Live Facebook page, it was Denny Hamlin getting his seventh win with Kyle Busch finishing second, Chase Elliott third. Well, guess what? Teams 1 and 2 Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch were disqualified due to the front fascia. There was some openings that were, I guess, covered when they wrapped the vehicles with the, you know, cuz they don't paint the sides anymore, they just wrap them, covered up some openings that should have been there. And Hamlin wound up 35th, and Kyle Busch wound up 36th. What happened is, and Kyle Busch and Hamlin started first and second, and maybe that's why. And then they finished first and second. But where it come down to the disqualification, guess who wound up getting credited for the win? Did not even lead a lap, win a stage, nothing. Driver of the number 9, Chase Elliott. Tyler Reddick was 2nd. Daniel Suarez was 3rd. Christopher Bell was 4th. A Gibbs car that wasn't disqualified, maybe because it wasn't in the top 3. Kyle Larson, 4th. Michael McDowell, 5th. Martin Truex, Michael McDowell. Kyle Larson, 5th. Christopher Bell, 4th. Michael McDowell, 6th. Martin Truex, 7th. Bubba Wallace, good run for Bubba, 8th. 9th, Eric Jones, and rounding out your top 10 was Austin Dillon. Bubba probably would have been in 10th had Hamlin and Kyle Busch finished 1 and 2, but hey, they're starting to get their – it's a new team. Got to give them credit. I'm sure they're running they're running Toyotas due to – why would Hamlin run something other than a Toyota when he drives a Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing? Well, the race took 3 hours, 15 minutes, 59 seconds. Caution flags, 9 for 37. Fifteen lead changes amongst 10 drivers, so it was pretty competitive. And prior to the start of the race, vehicles dropped to the front, rear of the field under penalty numbers 124, 31, 43, 51. Unapproved adjustments. 45, a backup vehicle. Kurt Busch was not in the race because he was in a qualifying wreck and had some concussions, so they stuck Ty Gibbs in the car to cover for me, wound up 16th. So, we'll see how long it takes for Kurt to come back, because he's the other driver for 2311, which is Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin team, which at least had a car in the top 10 with Bubba Wallace, so Kurt's normally up there as well. So, let's see. Let's check out the points. Up here we go. Error while opening document. Try a restart, a refresh. Nope. The only one to come up was the Xfinity series. Let's see. Let's go back to post-race press conference. Joe Gibbs and Brad Moran managing. Well, we'll go with
We're now joined by NASCAR Cup Series Managing Director Brad Moran. Like I mentioned earlier, this is an appealable disqualification, so can't get into as many details as I'm sure you'd like. We can do that once the appeal process has been exhausted. But, Brad, with that in mind, what can you tell us about the inspection process and what you found that ended up being a DQ for both the 11 and the 18?
Yeah, unfortunately, we were doing our post-race inspections, which we do. There was some issues discovered that affect aero of the vehicle. The part was the front fascia, and there really was no reason why there was some material that was somewhere that it shouldn't have been. And that does basically come down to a DQ. It is a penalty, both first 11 of Denny Hamlin and the 18 of Kyle Busch been DQ'd. Their vehicles are being loaded in a NASCAR hauler. They're going to go back to the R&D center. The final results have been changed to show that the two DQs were there, and they have the opportunity to appeal it. It'll be all sorted out by next week. So, like Mike said, there's can't get into all the details of what the issues were, but both vehicles had the same issue, and unfortunately, they were not acceptable to pass the inspection.
All right, we'll take one question. If you have one, please raise your hand.
Brad, this has not happened for a long time, maybe two decades. I don't have to look in the history books, but does this relate to something related to the new car? Is this something that is surprising at this point? Because we haven't had a race winner DQ'd in Cup for a very, very long time.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, we don't want to be here talking about this. We just saw a great race. You know, last thing we want to do is meet here afterwards and talk about this problem. But, you know, the teams and the owners and everybody is well aware that this new car was going to be kept with some pretty tight tolerances, and there's some areas that all of the teams are well aware that we cannot be going down the path that we had in the past with the other car. So it is partly to do with the new car, and you know, the rules have tightened up, and you know, everyone has to kind of abide by our new rules, which everybody's well aware of. No, not from what we've seen at this point. We saw enough that the DQ was warranted, and we are bringing the vehicles back for further evaluation. So we will look much closer at both vehicles. But as of right now, no, we're hopefully not going to find anything else. But we are going to inspect them further when we get back to the R&D center.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate your time, and to the media, I appreciate your understanding on the appeals process, and have safe travels home, Brad.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
There you have the announcement of the disqualification of Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch. I saw where Joe Gibbs Racing decided to not appeal the decision, so they're going to take the lumps and go from there. And now, like they said, it is a new car. So I guess somebody screwed up somewhere. Anyway, they're going from the tricky triangle to the vaunted Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We have the TS Sport 200 presented by Crescent Tools at the Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park, which is in the Camping World, which is the Camping World Truck Series race. So they're not running the Brickyard. They haven't yet. It's only the Cup and then Xfinity, trying to keep it special. But Lucas Oil Raceway is also where they used to run back in the day. And there is an NHRA track where they run the U.S. Nationals, which is the biggest race in the Camping World NHRA drag racing series, you know, with the night, which, you know, Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock Bike, that's their Indy, they run it there. Saturday, that'll be Friday, July 29th at 9 p.m. And Saturday on NBC, actual NBC, not USA Network. I think they closed down NBC Sportsnet, but which used to be, I think, took over for as Comcast Sportsnet. Back when I was up north, they had Comcast Sportsnet, Comcast, which was another, they had another channel called Comcast, Comcast owned it. So, but Comcast, they said, I guess they're a cable company, grew big enough to buy up just about everything. NBC, Universal Studios, Universal. Somebody did something right there. But Saturday we have 3:30 p.m., the Pennzoil 150 at the Brickyard on NBC. And then Sunday, July 31st at 2:30, we have the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard. Brickyard Road Course. Ah, not even the Brickyard. Oh, man. I should have read. I'm reading the fine print. Same with the in Xfinity race. Road course. A lot of road courses. And they're going to add a street course. Like, come on, NASCAR. Nobody wants to watch that. I just feel for the drivers and crews and people's safety driving through the streets of Chicago. But that's neither here nor there. It's not my decision. At least the road course at the Brickyard is, we don't have to worry about that. Yes, the Camping World Truck Series playoff lineup is set. 3, 6, 9, 10. And I couldn't find it because, guess what? It wasn't. Able to come up. So, and what are you going to do? Anyway, that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. Sorry I was off last week. I was on vacation, so I chose not to do one. Normally I would sometimes do it at night, but I wasn't, and, you know, I will take days off, or I'll run a rerun, but wanted to make sure. So we'll let you know, and have a good week. So good day, and good racing. Bye now.